just so blessed today. Well, what do you do after that? we're going to open up, I guess, God's Word. We want to welcome our first-time guests, though, at Living Faith Church. Come on, let's welcome them. Second time. Good to see the house of God. Yeah, amen. We're Living Faith, faith that you can see as we gather, as we grow, and what? Go, amen, to you said that. We'll get the mission statement down in a moment today. There are a couple things just to remind you about. This is one of my favorite movies. How many like Taken? Yes. Don't lie, amen, you're in church. You can raise your hand. You know that thing when he says, I don't know who you are, but I will find you, and I will kill you. But I'd like to put it, I don't know who you are, but I will find you and invite you to Living Faith on Easter. And you can show me the invites. They say that 87% of people that you invite just for Easter or Christmas, that they're likely to come. You can invite them like to next 2 weeks from now, a month from now. Percentages might not be there, but you got a good chance. I think you ought to celebrate Easter more than Cascarones in the sense of Easter egg hunts, barbecue at the family ranch or whatever. That's all good. But the best way to celebrate Easter as God's child is to bring somebody that's far away from God, lost, and they can sit by you. You can see the miracle of Easter. So you have a great chance. That's why I want you to use our invite cards. They're found in entrances and then even up here at the front of the church. Take a few with you. Personally invite people. You'll be glad that you did. Okay, everybody? It'll be a blessing to have that miracle. I'm going to do my part. You do yours. And just try to invite people that have never been to Living Faith. They'll probably come. Do you have your message notes handy? Yes. All right. If you don't, raise your hand. We'll get those to you. You want to take the journey with me today, your talk notes. If you got it, amen. I always do this a taco because I'm thinking of a taco. Anybody got them? Yeah, 100%. Let's welcome our Facebook audience too. They're live, our online audience. Come on, welcome them. Come on, make them feel at home. Welcome. We're so honored that you've joined us today, even by online. That's awesome today. Today, really historically, is known as Palm Sunday. That's when Jesus rode in on the donkey, and the palms were laid down, and they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna to the highest. And Jesus entered Jerusalem, and he was a hero at that moment. But isn't it amazing that just a few days later on Friday, they would arrest him, they would beat him, he would be betrayed, he would be rejected, he would be bloodied on a cross. And we study these final statements that Jesus makes on the cross, and you can show me the next slide. And he begins to make them not because he's out of his mind, but on purpose, intentionally. And they're statements that are so powerful that we're still using them 2,000 years later. And we're saying, this is the way I should live when I get betrayed. This is the way I should live when I need forgiveness or I need to forgive somebody. This is the way I should live during my times of suffering, during my times that I feel apart from God. And so this is what Jesus did. There are life lessons to us, you and me as God's child, right, everybody? Amen. This is how we should do it. This is what we're about today. Not what I'm about, but what Jesus, my Savior, my Master, the one that gave me his name, that's how I live today. And so he said on the cross, he pronounced, it is finished. It is finished. And it signaled the ultimate defeat of the enemy because it was finally finished. One of the things that's pretty incredible about this is this. It wasn't the last words that Jesus said on the cross. He would breathe his last breath and he would say final words after that. This is right before it. But in the middle of the suffering, in the middle of hanging between two thieves, in the middle of telling them, hey, you'll be in paradise with me. John, take care of my mother. That's now your mother. In the middle of all saying that, he said, it is finished. He was still suffering. He was still on the cross. He was still conscious. And so I'd like to take you to this thought, that right in the middle of your suffering, you can say, it is finished. And you're going to get that, and it's going to gain some traction today in a moment, because that's what you need to live for, and that's how you should live for as God's child. I'm suffering right now. I'm going through this right now. It's hurting right now. But you can still announce confidently because you have a Savior in heaven named Jesus and he went through it. You can still sound, it is finished. Yeah, and so that's just a good victory point for your life today, right? I can feel you're hungry, you're drawing it from me, and it's good because I'm real hungry today, right, everybody? And so not for tacos, for God's word, right? Give me a good amen. And so the thought is right here, this isn't how it's supposed to turn out. This isn't what it's about, but you can still say, it is still finished today. So be confident. There's a purpose and an end, right, everybody? And so I'm still in the middle of it. In the Old Testament and New Testament, there are these people called saints. They're just like you and me. And one of them is called Abraham. He's the father of our faith. And he was a coward. One of the things that they recognized about Father Abraham was he was human, just like you and I. But he was written about. And each saint that I'm about to mention, they knew the attributes of God that I'm about to give you. The attributes of God that God is all-knowing, God is ever-present, God's all-powerful. They knew, even though they went through their junk, Sarah was too old. She was just too old. But God still used her, right, everybody? Yes. Job was this man that everything was taken. The oldest book in the Bible is Job, not Genesis. It's historically Job, according to what we know about chronologically. And at that very moment, everything was taken away from Job. He was a devout man. He was a good man. But the devil came and took everything in a matter of moments from him. Everything but his wife. I wonder why he left her. I think the story is in heaven, the demons in hell, they're saying, hey, she's next. Do we get her? And the devil said, nah, leave her. Leave her. Is this the type of woman she was? Here's what happened. Job was like probably day five, man. And he's all filled with warts now, bald-headed, crying, you know, shame, middle of the dust, just sitting there. He has this clay pot that's broken, left of his home, and then left is a clay pot, broken. And he starts taking off his warts with these, Bible says, with the clay pot. That's how miserable he is. And the wife walks up to him, and at that very moment, she doesn't go, come here, viejito, let me make you some caldito or something. No, you know, she said, curse God and die. Man, what a wife, right? We're not married that way, right? Give me a good amen. Amen. Moses stuttered, but he knew that God was all-powerful and God was ever-present. Rahab had a whole lot of history behind that wall. Yeah, and she was also an immigrant before they built the wall that came down, right? She was an immigrant. David was too young. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was talked about and gossiped behind her back. They all knew the attributes of God. They all knew that God was all-powerful, ever-present, and God was all-knowing. Right, everybody? And so the first thought here, I'm going to give you some extra notes. And the real spiritual people at Living Faith Church even take extra notes. But that's you can take that for what it's worth. God's all-powerful. Yeah, He really is. And you need to know that He's omnipotent. And God is an all-powerful God. And Colossians 1:16 on the big screen says this, for everything, absolutely everything got its start in Him, right everybody? Finding its purpose and anything before it came into existence, it all holds together. He's got the whole world in His hands. Everyone, I wish I would sing it better than these guys can sing it. Amen. I'm not going to try today or you'll leave the church. And he up to this very moment, He holds all things together up to this right very moment. And so as I look at the audience today of Living Faith in the congregation, I see strength today. I see miracles today because I know some of your stories today and in your lives today. There's a miracle right now that has happened. So, Sophie, I'm just going to tell you, Sophie was this confused lady when before her life was shaped by Jesus. And this pointless, no vision and lost. And God came along and gave her a great husband and Douglas Cochran and blessed her and provided for her and sons and grandchildren now. And now there's a legacy, right, everybody? Yeah. I look at a man that needed a job and God blessed him over and over in a job. Victor, God's blessed you and given you a purpose and a plan. I can't talk about y'all. We'll be here all day today. Amen. I see the hand. Nobody wants to look at me because they'll feel I'm... I see a great teacher in our audience and two teachers, three teachers. Amen. God's blessed us with many educators. And when we were supposed to be at the bottom, God raised you up and made you a great student, didn't He, Sonia? Amen. And God's blessed us. I save the best for last. My hero is my wife. Amen. Greatest miracle. Amen. Doctors told her cancer, and cancer came upon us and came out of nowhere. Chemo came and all that terrible things happened. I don't want to live in the past too much, but it's a miracle. She's on the front row today, praising God, cancer-free. Right, everybody? Yeah, and the same God will help Diane Puente right now in the name of Jesus, because he's a miracle working God. Well, you guys are blind by faith, and you know, you got to claim your hope, because hope turns into miracle. Hope turns into faith, and that brings a miracle about. Well, you can't believe it. Miracles have gone away. No, they haven't. And what am I going to believe in? You? I'm going to believe in God, because God is a miracle working God. And I can receive my miracle this very hour. I'd rather hope in an all-powerful God than somebody simple like myself and simple like you today. I need God. God, you might say, how you can really understand what I'm going through. God can understand, because he's all-powerful. Amen. He's made you for this moment. The second thought is this. Somebody shout, God's all-knowing. Yeah, he's omniscient, and God has the beginning and the end. Yeah, but I have a problem right in the middle. He's the Alpha and he's the Omega, but right in the middle, while I'm going through this, is God. See, God is the beginning and God is the end. You're in the middle. God's gonna see you through, but you got to keep going, right, everybody? Amen. There's this wonderful scripture that we sometimes use, and it said something like this when we say something. Well, they died too young. They still had a whole lot of living. In Isaiah 57, it says this, that God, good people die before their time because the Lord spares them of the evil days that are coming. And if you've been through grief, like I've been through grief, like we all have been, that we've lost somebody before their time, don't you often say, because you love them so much in their memory? You love them this way, you go, you know, I'm glad that they're in heaven now, because they don't need to experience this pain on earth anymore. If you really let them go, you realize that, because that's God's love. Even though you don't want to lose anyone, no one does, but they're spared. We trust God even at that moment. Do you recognize that today with me? In Hebrews chapter 4 on the big screen 13, and he knows about everyone everywhere. Everything about us is bare and wide open. All seeing is our living God, our God. Nothing can be what?
Hidden.
Yeah, nothing can be hidden from him. I've told this story a little bit for all the living faith lifers, and so you got to forgive me if you know it, and you just got to bear with me. Hey, it's been about 15 years since we've been doing this. I only got so much, okay? So don't judge me, but it's true, and it's alive in me as it was when it happened. Several years ago, suddenly I got a phone call from my mom. It's ironic, I was helping somebody else in the hospital that was part of our church, walking them through their pain and their hurt, and was going to give them a ride home for their procedure. And my mom calls me, says, I don't know what's wrong with Daddy. She called him that. He's been taken to the hospital. I'm following right now the ambulance, and we're on our way. He collapsed. And I said, well, what hospital are you at, Mom? The brother that was there that I was going to give a ride home, I said, hey, man, you got to get somebody else to get your ride. He understood fully. And I took off towards the hospital. And my dad, 2 days later, died. He had a massive aneurysm in our home. And the all-knowing was a moment in my life of God being all-knowing was it came out of nowhere. But I had to trust God. In that moment, like, God, I didn't have time. It wasn't like, hey, there's this disease you got and you're going to live 5 more years. It was a sudden thing. And I wasn't ready. Nobody's even ready if it was a sudden thing after 5 years. I know you're hurting in this room thinking about your loved one. And if I was God, I would have done it a little bit differently. I would have let my dad see this new church that you're in. I would have let him still be with me at the times that he was with me. I would have walked through life with him a little bit more. I wanted to see Rebecca and Andrew graduate from high school and then go on to college like they're doing now. I wanted Dad to share all those moments with me. I would have did it differently, but I'm not God. I'm more confident today than I've ever been that God's ways are much more higher than my ways. And it's only come because of a little bit of pain in my life. Do you understand that? Not as much as my Savior suffered on the cross, but a little bit of pain. And so I'm more confident today than I've ever been that God's thoughts are even higher than my thoughts. He's all-knowing. Do you understand that today? Yeah. Right, everybody? So never be afraid to trust the future to an all-knowing God. Do you know that today? Amen. He's much smarter than, and his ways are much more higher than us today. Ever present. is the next thought. He's omnipresent. Wherever you go, God's there. Right, everybody? Yes. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says this. Somebody say, never.
Never,
ever, ever, never will I leave you. Who's saying that? Mario? No. God, never will I forsake you. So we can say with confidence. Somebody shout confidence.
Confidence.
Yeah, you got to have a little bit of ability in your life, some declaration in your life. The Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid. Yeah. What can mere mortals do to me? What can a human do to me after I believe? You can't touch me, man. I got God's help, and I'm not afraid anymore. Well, the boss is going to do this or that. No, even if I'm fired, God is still with me. I don't want to be fired, amen, but God's going to be with me, amen. Even if that sentence comes upon me or that direction comes upon me or that decision comes at me, God is still with me, right, everybody? To every child of God, we're hearing it today, right, everybody?
Amen.
I spy on my kids. And they sometimes watch me online because they're in Dallas. I spy on them on the social media stuff. And I check them out because I'm a good dad. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
I'm nosy like that. And so Andrew was needing his school bill paid like he's always had his school bill paid. needed his school bill paid since he began at Christ for the Nations. And he's telling this one guy in a tweet, we're going to be all right. About his school bill being paid and that kid's school bill being paid, his friend, his best buddy. That kid, by the way, owed a lot more than Andrew. We were helping Andrew, but he had to work. Give me a good amen. It's good for your son and daughter to work. And so we were helping him a little bit, but when he put that tweet, it's going to be all right. He was telling that kid. And I thought, Andrew, you know, I hope he's not, you know, Andrew, we're helping you. This guy's not getting any even help, amen. But you're going to be all right.
Amen.
You know that? You need to tell your neighbor you're going to be all right. With an all-knowing, ever-present God, God's not far away, over and over, God is going to make you all right. You're going to be all right. You're going to enter in there. I don't know what it is, but I've been doing this for over 30 years now, preaching and leading the church. And it's funny when doors open, how you see people out. Let me not lose my train of thought. And when something devastating comes to an individual, I used to say, well, God's going to be with you. And I kind of walk away. If you need anything, call me. I kind of like, wow. But you know what I do now after 30 years? Because you experience things with people and you grow and get more gray hair. I tell them something like this. You're almost going to feel guilty of the comfort that you're going to feel from an all-knowing ever-powerful, ever-present God.
Amen.
He's going to save you. He's going to help you.
Amen.
During this time. And it's God's presence, even during that dark hour, that it is finished. It's going to be okay. We're going to get past this today. I don't want you to today, you may not leave with the answer of your solution or the solution that you need or the problem, but you will know this, that God will leave you with an assurance that He's with you today. Amen?
Amen.
This great singer, it was in the 20th century, her name was Fanny Crosby. And she was blind for most of her life. For 6 weeks of her infant life, when she was born, she had sight. The doctor did something with mustard gas back in the day, and it blinded her. So she probably doesn't even remember that she was able to see. But in that moment that she grew, she wrote many beautiful hymns. We sing some of them here at Living Faith Church. And she wrote, her most famous one is Blessed Assurance. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Yeah. And so in that moment, she wrote that she knew that God was with her and that God had her and God has this. Do you understand that today? And so we have that assurance that God is with us today. Paul had a haunting past. That was his mix-up. But he knew the attributes of God. His past of him killing Christians and doing all the things that he does and all the wickedness that before Christ came to his life, he's awaiting now to be executed. And he writes this to Timothy, and I believe it's on the big screen, right? Or do we have that? 2 Timothy 1:12. He says, I'm suffering, yet I am not ashamed because I know in whom I've what? And I am convinced, I'm convinced, I have confidence that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him on that
day.
Yeah, Yeah. Yet, yeah, I'm not ashamed because I know I'm about to be executed like a common criminal, but I'm not ashamed because I know in whom I... It's not fair what's happening to me because it was about the gospel. It wasn't about me murdering somebody. That's what I've been charged with. And there are three statements, beloved, that I want you to walk away with today and believe them. You can declare them daily. This is where you walk away with something at Living Faith and you can apply them today during a hard time. You're in the middle of a trial and you don't see yourself out. This week you can apply. This first one is this. I know that God loves me. I know that God loves me. Jesus died for you and he died for your sins. When's the last time somebody did that for you? Never. Who's done that for you? No one. There's this book in the Bible in the Old Testament. It's called Lamentations. And that means really lamenting. And it's a book about complaining. I'm so glad there's a book about complaining in the Bible. How about you? We've got a church right for us, right, Lord? Amen. Church of Lamentations. Amen. We could have named Living Lamentations. And for three chapters, man, Jeremiah is all around these complainers, and so he's complaining. He's this weeping prophet. That's what they call him. So three chapters, and then all of a sudden, in verse 21, man, the stride, the shift hits Jeremiah, and he begins to say something different than complain. Yet, this I call to mind, therefore I have hope, and because of the Lord's great, I wish I had somebody helping me up here, amen, but that's it. We are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. And here's a new song, amen, that she wrote, and they are new every morning. Great is thy God's so incredible. He's so in love with you. Do you know God could have chosen to live on any planet that he created in the solar system, in the universe? He could have done that. He could have created just a planet just for him. The Klingons would have got kicked off. He would have created just for him. He could have created in the deepest ocean. He could have gone down and lived there. He could have lived in the highest heaven. But you know where God, because God loves you so much, you know where he chose to live? He chose to live in your... My heart's beating good, right? Oh, it's beating good. It adjusted, right? In the tough days, remember that God loves you.
Amen.
This past Wednesday night, we were here and God was moving and God was blessing the church as we sang the songs of faith. And I got a report back from a leader, and the leader said, hey, this fifth grader that's part of the children's ministry came up to me. And he gave me this testimony. He said, the fifth grader said, hey, do you know what happened to me today at school? And the leader said, no. He said, you know, I was playing soccer, and you know how I'm not very good. And the leader said, I don't know if you're very good or not. He said, well, I'm not. But I was still kicking the ball. And the PE teacher came up to me, little boy saying, and the PE teacher told me, hey, you can't play. Go play with the girls because you don't know how to play. Yeah, and I said, what did you tell him? I said, well, I told him to go tell his parents what the teacher did so the parents would go talk to the PE teacher. And I told him, I looked at him square in the eye, and I looked at him eyeball to eyeball, and I said, you're not that. You're not supposed to play with the girls. You're a champion. You have a destiny. You have a purpose in God. You're going to do great things in God. And he charged that young boy that's in fifth grade just with faith. I said last week that hurting people should help people at Living Faith, because we walk in here hurting, wounded at times, and you're Christians. But hurting people on the outside hurt people. In other words, people are messed up sometimes. We're not better than them. We have a Savior, but some people are messed up on the outside. Some people are messed up on the inside. And mess up people will mess you up. They won't mess you up, man, if you get involved in their mess up today. And that's why you need to believe what God is for you. He's not against you. God loves you. God wants his best for you today. Right, everybody? And so there's a wrong picture sometimes we have of God that we've had. When I was a child, I thought God was out to get me. I kind of thought God was like the Wizard of Oz behind that green curtain and the green face that would come out. What do you want with a mighty Oz? I would think that was God when I would come to him. And I'm going, you know, and I think, you know, I got to prove myself. I want to go back to Kansas. And, you know, go get me the broom, the wicked witch, right? And so I had to go do something and kill this witch, right, to go so I could finally make it back to Kansas. And that was the wrong picture that I had from God, right, everybody? God is for you. God loves you today. God lives in your heart. That's how much. If God had a screensaver on his phone, it would be you, your picture, amen. Every time that phone got bumped, your mug would show up. Right? God's not mean. God loves you. In Romans chapter 8, let's prove it together. Let's read it together on three. I haven't bragged about you living faith second service all week long. I need to tell the first service about you next week, but you can do this with me, right? We can do this. Amen. We declare the word of the Lord out loud. One, two, three. If God is for us, since he did not even spare, persecution, hungry, destitute, in danger, threatened with death. No! Yeah. Amen. Amen. See God the right way. And it's your perception of God that sometimes can deter us with our walk of God, or it's our perception of God that was saying, you know what, I know God is for me, he loves me, and you know, you see the picture that God's a good, better than good to me, good father, right, everybody? Yeah, I was getting that Moses on me stuttering, amen, but God's a good father, amen, he's a good father, he loves me, he's perfect in all of his ways today. The second thought is this. Know that God, declare it. I know that God has a plan for me. Yeah, you say it and you'll get a little bit more traction. Amen today. Amen. God thinks of me. Amen. God works his best out for me in his life today and in my life today. Things that I cannot see, God is still working out for me. Years ago, I can't believe how time flies, we came back to San Antonio, Irma and I, because our intent was to plant a church. And we found this other church that needed a pastor, so I kind of thought I would be their pastor and we were going to get hired there. And we got hired for about a year. And I was the interim, hoping they would make me their full-time pastor and they would take me on. Well, I started having conflict with the board after the honeymoon was over. And what ended up happening was, you know, I remember being on my face before God when I knew the board. How many of you know you're about to have the meeting with the board? Or you're with the boss and things are, you know, that's not going to go well. So you're supposed to seek God. That's what I preach. So I was seeking God. I was on my face. I remember still in my bedroom and I was like laying before God. And I was saying, God, why are you making this so uncomfortable? God, it's a church already built. Congregation's already there. Why am I having trouble with these wicked men? Long story short, walked into the board meeting, prayed up, or I thought I was prayed up, and, you know, I quit before I was fired, basically. Just quit. And I went home that long drive because it was in a small town right outside of San Antonio, and I thought, what am I going to do now? Lord, you called me to be a pastor. I know I'm supposed to do that for the rest of my life. I'm sure of that. But what am I going to do, Lord? What am I going to do? And it was that uncomfortableness in that time. They say the eagle and the little baby eaglets that are chicks in that point, when they get into the nest, the mama brings them all the worms that they need, all the fish that they need. And those eaglets are having the time of their life. They're eating, getting fat. But sooner or later, they start growing wings. And that mama loves them enough that it starts to stir the nest. And it takes out all the down, where it's soft, no longer, and it just leaves the branches that are prickly and thorny and poke those little eaglets. Because that mama knows if they stay in that nest, they're going to die. They can't live that way forever. They're meant to fly. They're meant to soar. Amen. And I just come back to you, and in your toughest times that you're uncomfortable or you're feeling pain and you're feeling things that maybe God's trying to see. If I would have never left that place or never got fired or quit, whatever the two were going to be, I would have never met you, Reuben. I would have never met you, Yvonne. Amen. I would have never had the privilege of having Gina and Melanie. I would have never had the eldership that I have in the Very Isles and the Cochrans and the Pantolas. I would have never heard her song. You understand that today? I would have saw Mike Montgomery running out of that church like a wild man, but then running back into church. That's what much of a miracle it is to see the hand of God now abiding. Do you understand that today? You may not get my story, but I know you have your own, don't you? Amen. And if you stay with it, God makes you uncomfortable for that season because He wants to promote you. And if you look at it the right way. One precious lady told me this, Pastor, that financial blessing came in. And I remember we prayed and it took over a year for that financial blessing to happen. And she's on cloud nine. She was in the middle of it. See, we can announce even in the middle of it, it is finished. It's done. God has me and He's good to me. He has a plan for my life today. The POWs in the Old Testament were over and over the children of Israel. And they're in this, they're 70 years in captivity, and they're Jeremiah again is their prophet. Some of them saw death after they were taken away as slaves, and they didn't get to see. They wanted the answer immediately, but God had a plan for their lives. It didn't take a year, it took 70. You want to be an Old Testament or New Testament? I'll take New Testament any day. How about you? And so in that context, we have this great scripture that we have on a magnet that we put it on the refrigerator. God has a plan for me. And Jeremiah declares over your life on the big screen or in your handout. Let's say it together like we believe it. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. That word plan right there on the very top, it means to bring a good expected end. That it's going to your good's going to happen to you. Little did I know that we would be here, amen, when I was there many years ago. And I wouldn't trade this for anything. If I would have saw this, I would have said, certainly I'm going to quit, amen. But God has a plan for your life, amen. One more thought. Go to Growing in Faith. It's a free class. It's a 6 weeks class. It happens at 9 a.m. You can go to it every Sunday. It's taking place now because you'll learn about your spiritual gift, your purpose, your plan. You'll be able to say, this is the plan of God for my life. I have this gift. Now I can accelerate and go more to it. Some of you have learned you're supposed to be pastors or you have that gift. Some of you have learned you're supposed to be evangelists. You have a spiritual gift in that. You learn that you're supposed to do certain things. That's what you're about. It's your sweet spot. Do it. Amen. I know that God will bring me through. Finally, number three. I know that God will bring me through. Fill in the blank there with me. Yeah. When my father passed away that night, we're all hurting, of course. It was a sudden thing. And I go to his desk and his study. And Dad had a big desk and a chair. And I just want to be near to where, if you've ever felt somebody that suddenly gone, you want to be near where they were at, their moments. And I just sat in his chair and I began to look around his desk and I thought, what was he reading? And I looked through his Bible and I found certain passages maybe, and I wasn't sure. But I found this booklet on his desk, so I took it. And he had a bookmarker. I've replaced it now with a picture of us when we were back at the old church in building one. And he had it bookmarked right here. And it's incredible just commentary to me about knowing that God will bring me through and that God will bring you through. May I read it to you? Yes. I was going to read it anyway, but let me go ahead. And it's titled, it's called Personal Peace, The Keys by Billy Graham. And my dad had this right there. He was reading it. And it says this, Who is Jesus? Chapter 5. One day I was walking down a dirt road with one of my young sons, and I accidentally kicked over the top of an anthill. Naturally confused and terrified, ants swarmed all over the hill and began working feverishly to defend their anthill. Wow, Dad, said the son. I really messed up their world. Yes, son, I'm afraid you did, I replied. But I didn't mean to. I wish we could tell them how sorry we were for messing up their home. I wish we could go tell them how much we cared. We didn't mean to do it. I wish we could restore their anthill somehow. But they just can't communicate with them. And so my son thought for a moment, and he said this to me. He said, the only way that we could do that, Dad, if we became an ant. And we entered their world and we became ant people to let them know. And Billy Graham says this, and that's exactly what God did. On a dark night, the stars sang together and escorted the angels and they chanted praises. And God's Son voluntarily threw off his heavenly robe and became man. He didn't just become a good man or a godly man. He didn't just become a great mortal teacher and eloquent prophet. He actually became God in flesh, human flesh. One writer says this way, it was God with skin on. He was both completely God and completely man at the same time. You might want to say he became an ant in an ant's world. He became Ant-Man. Yeah. And the difference is that God didn't kick us out of the anthill or smash our world. We destroy our world ourselves through our sin. And he came to restore it and to restore us to himself because he loves us. Amen. So you can see after I read something like this that God loves me and God will see me through. And not only does he love me, he loves you. Amen. And he'll see you through your darkest time, and he'll help you during that time of challenge in your life where you can announce with boldness, it is finished. Yeah, I'm still hurting, still crying out, but it is finished today. There's a scripture that's on the big board that's in your handout, and it says this, it's incredible, that you can share with me. 2 Timothy 4:8, and the Lord will rescue me from every... That means the hardships of life, every evil, that diagnosis, that why is she there right now? What's happening to my life? Every evil attack. And he will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. And sometimes forever be the glory of God. Sometimes I ask God, God, you're going to rescue me now on earth? Or are you going to rescue me when I get to heaven and heal me like my dad was healed in heaven? And God says, yes. No, God, are you going to, you're not understanding me, God. Are you going to rescue me now from this diagnosis? Are you going to rescue me when I get to heaven? Yes. And he does it both ways. Sometimes God is so awesome that he heals you right now. And he's still awesome if he heals you in heaven. Amen. Because he's God. And his ways are much higher than our ways. And we trust him. See, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote this, he was about to be executed again. And he's closing out the letter 2 Timothy, not 1 Timothy. And he's telling his spiritual son, he said, I'm not going to see you. I'm not going to see you probably. This is it. I'm awaiting execution right now. But I wanted to leave you with my final words. And I'm going to be okay. It's going to be all right. I'm going to get rescued from every evil attack. And I'm going to get... So what could you do with a guy when they went to him and they said, hey, stop preaching or we'll throw you in jail. That'll be all right. I'll finally have time. I'll write all these letters. So I have downtime. I can write. And I wrote a Galatian letter and I wrote a Corinthian letter and I wrote a Roman letter. He said, if you don't stop doing that, we're going to kill you. Would you? Because then I would meet the one that died for me. Amen. See, he got it. He had the right perception. What can you do with a guy like that? Nothing. We win-win. Everybody's a chicken dinner. Amen. We all win today. By many accounts, Paul was penniless at this time. His clothing was probably tattered. He had no friends. Pretty messed up life on this side. That's why he looked forward to the reward. Amen. That he has, and it is finished. And so finally, here you go. You waited for the last one today. My struggle and purpose and pain has an end. It does. Let's shout with me, it is finished.
It is finished.
It is finished.
It is finished.
It is finished. It's finished. It's finished. It's finished. Pray with me right now. It's finished. It is finished. We're not Jesus on the cross, but that thing that's hindered my brother and sister, it is finished. It's finished. It's finished. I'm in the middle of it. You're saying, no, it's finished. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega, the beginning and the end. God sees the end. You can't, but it is finished. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As you still yourself and the band approaches right now, you bow your head with me. Would you pray? This is a holy moment, so don't move around too much right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I pray right now, Lord, for that one that heard it is finished and still trying to grab a hold of it, Lord. In the name, I pray for their strength, Lord. I can't pray that their journey's going to get better in the sense of that, but I just pray for strength to go through it in the name of Jesus and have a perspective that it is finished. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. They're getting stronger, Lord. They're not, death isn't coming upon them. They're saying it's finished, Lord. They're going to live and not die and declare the works of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In this moment right now, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, you're far away from God. You're not near right now. You're ashamed right now. And the only reason you're ashamed is because of this, because you've taken your sin, your own sin. You've taken it, and you don't have to do that. You don't have to be ashamed anymore. There's a Savior that waits for you and says, I'll pay the price for that sin. I'll do it. Give it to me. I've taken it on the cross. Accept Jesus today. If that's you in this room, you can receive Christ by saying a simple prayer. All that confessed Christ and believe in Him shall be saved, the Bible says. Would you confess Christ? If you're on the online right now, watching it on the internet, watching it on your phone, you can pray this simple prayer also. Let's pray this prayer together. You in the audience, you online right now, would we pray this? My Father in heaven, forgive me of my sins. I've done things that are wrong. And I'm ashamed of those things. But now my shame is replaced because of the blood of Jesus. It washes away all my sin and makes me white as snow. I am a son of God. I am a daughter of God. I am in the family of God. I am God's own child. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Now seal the blessing in the name of Jesus. We provide it right now for God's people. The hand of God's upon you. You're going to do great things for God. For all that receive Christ, come on, encourage them right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Father. There's a growing in faith class, again, takes place at 9 a.m. If you receive Christ today, if you made confession with your mouth, you need to be part of that class at 9 a.m. Howard and Sonia are right here on the front row this way. They'll be glad to tell you more. They'll plug you in. It's free. You can't be free, right, everybody? Be part of it at 9 a.m., then come to 10:30 service after that. Also, there's a connection card in front of you. You'll want to make sure that you you take that card, and if you receive Christ, fill that out. I take those very personally. I pray for you. I believe in you. Amen. And so I'll pray for you this week if you have a prayer need. Amen. And God's been good to us, right, everybody? Amen. We're going to receive our tithe and offering. It's a time to give. We're joyful in our time to give, right, everybody? So let's go ahead and get ready to give right now. Amen. Would you go ahead and get the microphone? And I'll help you, babe. Can you give me 1 second? Okay. Sorry. Okay. Tracy's going to take a moment. She's one of our great teachers, and we can say something about the offering. Go ahead.
I just wanted to share, when we were having service, God was wanting me to share. It's a joke, but it has a meaning. There was a man that was talking to God and was asking God, you know, I'm suffering. Why am I suffering? I need help. And the Lord was told him, don't worry, my son, you're going to win the lottery. So don't worry. So, sorry, I'm real nervous. So he goes and he's bragging to everybody, you know, God has told me I'm going to win the lottery. So he tells his wife and he's telling all his friends. So time passes and his wife is like, he doesn't worry.